It's 2:44. This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. Yolanda Joe is the author of 5 novels, including the bestsellers He Say, She Say, and BB's By Golly Wow. Her latest books are This Just In and Details at 10, the latter written under the pen name Ardella Garland. A Chicagoan, Yolanda Joe has worked as a journalist for radio and television in the Windy City. She studied at Yale and Oxford, and she earned an M.S. in broadcasting from the Columbia School of Journalism. Yolanda Joe is in Champaign-Urbana for a Writers Live event at the Champaign Public Library. That gets underway this evening at 7 o'clock. She'll talk about her writing and read from her work in the library's auditorium. Tickets are free, and there are still some available. Reserve a seat by calling the library at 356-7243. I'm happy to welcome Yolanda Joe to the Afternoon Magazine. Welcome. Thanks for joining us this
All right.
Afternoon.
Thank you guys for having me.
Praise from your family, your school teachers, and your church got you to where you are today. It must have been a close-knit family and a close-knit schoolhouse and church.
Well, you know, I was very fortunate. When I was 7 years old, I picked up a book and I just read it from cover to cover, and I knew I was going to be a writer. In my soul, I knew. I don't know quite that I would be able to make a living. I didn't think that far ahead, but I knew that I would be the person who wrote books that people would enjoy. So I was very fortunate in that my grandmother, who loved education, loved to read herself, was a fabulous storyteller in her own right, pushed me and said, "Hey, kid, you can do anything you want to do. Just put your mind to it." And so I would write my little poems, as corny as they were, and they would, you know, go to church, and then I'd stand in front of the little choir, and I'd say my little poem, and they'd tell me it was the best thing since wheat bread, and I would be excited, and I'd go home and write more. So that kind of encouragement really helped me to be the writer that I am today.
Yeah. Do you remember what that book was that grabbed you when you were a seven-year-old?
It wasn't Green Eggs and Ham, but it was something else on the lines of kind of like of A Little House on the Prairie. It was a book that was a kind of slightly adventure. It was more advanced than I was supposed to get. I was in second grade, but this was slated for the fourth graders. And it was this adventure story. And I thought, oh, my God, this is just wonderful. I said, I'm going to write books one day.
Terrific. Now, was journalism then a means to becoming a fiction writer? Or how did you find yourself in the world of journalism?
Well, I wanted to do something, Celeste, that would allow me to hone my skills as a writer and still make a living. Like most, this is a college town, and like most students, once you graduate, you don't want to go home and stay with your parents because you're used to being free and doing things your own way, and you want to be an adult. So I said, now what can I do to make a living and still be a writer? Because it's so hard to be a novelist and make a living. I said, but I can do something with those writing skills to make a daily living. I said, journalism. It was just like a hand-in-glove kind of thing. I can do that and still try to be a novelist on the side. So that's what I did.
And then Falling Leaves of Ivy was the first book?
Falling Leaves of Ivy was my first novel published. It was back in 1992. I call it my gumbo book because I wasn't sure that I would ever get published again because it's just so hard to break into the business. Celeste, so I put a little bit of everything in. I had a little mystery. I had a little romance. I had a slave narrative in there. I had interracial relationships. I just put everything in there but the kitchen sink. So it actually turned out very well. It was published by a small publishing company in Connecticut. And because of the sales of that book, I was able to land a publishing contract with Doubleday, who has been my publisher ever since.
That's very good. And, you know, it's not easy to break into broadcast news in Chicago either.
No, it isn't. I was fortunate in that sense in that I was an English major at Yale, which prepared me as a writer, but it really doesn't hit journalism. We had no internships there at the radio or television station, so I did need to get a crash course in what broadcasting was like because it's very, very unique. So I went to the Columbia School of Journalism in New York and did a master's in broadcasting. And I think because of the credentials that I had, it allowed me to, you know, kind of break into the business in Chicago behind the scenes. So I started writing and producing for radio news for CBS, and then I switched over to television.
Why didn't you go into print?
You know, I've always been a media broadcast person. Because I write so much in terms of wanting to do the novels, I wanted to do something different that would help me broaden my skills. And I knew that broadcasting was a little bit more instantaneous, and also it allowed you to write just very descriptively. You know what I mean? You can see the pictures and the words, and it was more dialogue-oriented, more conversational, whereas the print was more formal. I said, that way I can kind of get the best of both worlds. So yeah. It really helped me out,
yeah.
Particularly with deadlines. You know how television news, you're breaking story, let's go live here, and you have to write on command. So you have to be able to really concentrate and write well, and everybody around you is going nuts and crazy and yelling and screaming, and it helped me to be able to be real focused and driven.
Yeah. Now, it's fun in This Just In that there is a character whose heart is in print reporting, Kenya Adams, but she finds herself, she's driven by this need to succeed. And really, you know, in the journalism game, that's where the stars
are.
Yeah. So, you know, it's, and there is a tension in that, in the world of journalism, between broadcast and print. It's fun to see it pop up there.
Yeah, you know, I wanted This Just In to really be a look at the behind-the-scenes workings of broadcasting, you know, how stations make their money, what's important, what sweeps, how stories are selected, the politics of who gets promoted, who doesn't. And I wanted people to kind of realize that, you know, this is something you love, this is where you get your information, this is something you think you know, but, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes, some of it juicy, some of it funny, some of it kind of scary, some of it very political. And I just wanted people to, you know, really pick up this book and see a lot of things that go on behind the scenes, get a lot of information, but then also have a fun and sexy story, too.
Yeah. I checked in at Amazon.com mm-hmm. to read what people have said about the book, readers. And one said this, wrote this, as a mass media undergrad and two internships at a TV station, this reminded me of why I didn't take that path.
Yeah. I scared off some students. I really, so as I said, oh my goodness, people would email me. I have a website, www.yolandajoe.com, and students would mail me, oh, I better not go into journalism. I read your book. And I said, you know, judge for yourself. Do not take this as the Bible. It's just simply, you know, one person's view.
Yeah, yeah.
It was funny.
And there's a lot of good people in this business.
Absolutely.
Tough as it is.
Absolutely. And yeah. And all this stuff is done. People are very courageous. Journalists are people who really, you know, hardworking. They put their emotions on the line. They try to do the best job that they can do. It's just like any other profession. It's got its little ups and downs and its quirkies left and rights.
There are five women at the heart of This Just In. Four are black and the fifth white, and they work at this television station in Chicago, and there's stress and tension that comes with the kind of work that they do, but then there's also racism and sexism.
Right.
And there's a great character in the book, Denise Mitzler.
Denise,
tell
yes.
us a little about her.
I wanted to have Denise, particularly in this novel, you know, it's really tough to have a book with five characters, and generally you should try to, five main characters, you try to cut it down to maybe three. Some people have been able to master it with four, but five was just a handful. So I was trying to decide who I could cut, and I just couldn't make anybody go away. Everybody was in my head dying to get out. So particularly Denise, she's a manager, so she's stuck between a rock and a hard place. She has to run the station. She has to be the only woman in the boardroom when the big financial decisions are made. She's the only African-American in the boardroom. So the women staffers want her to do things that will, you know, change some of the sexist policies. The African-American staffers want her to do things to change policies they think are, you know, racist. So she's just tugged between, you know, each of those entities and still has to be a top flight manager. And I just thought that it was just such a character that a lot of people in corporate America, women and minority women, could relate to. And I said, she's just got to be there.
Yeah. In a big station like the one that you've created here, which is an O&O, which means owned and operated, how is this kind of situation playing out today? I assume that you still have friends who are working in the business.
Oh, a ton of friends all over the country still working in the business. And everybody said, you know, you're going to put me in the book? You're going to put me in the book? No, you're not going to be in the book. I'm taking general attitudes and issues. And no, I'm not going to put you in this book. I'm not going to put your name in there anyway. They're like, well, sneak my name in somewhere around the corner. I said, I'm not going to be sued by anyone who might think this may be them. They tell me stories all the time. They, you know, were helping me remember different things from working in, you know, again, Chicago at CBS. I have friends who work for the ABC station in Philly and, you know, New Orleans at the NBC station, a couple of folks at the network level in New York, even somebody at 2020. And they would all give me their stories. And I just wanted to have the right feel. I think that the business in itself is taking steps to improve. I think they want to be more inclusive in terms of having women and minorities as managers in the top decision-making positions. Quite naturally, in front of the mic and in front of the camera, you've got diversity there. But you need people in the power, the money-making decisions. You need station owners, you know, minorities who own television and radio stations. That's a very, very small number. So those are the kinds of things that I think are on the rise.
Yeah. You mentioned some of your friends saying, well, sneak me in there.
Yeah.
I do imagine for you that characters come first and then the plot follows. Is that right?
Yeah, I really hear the voices of some of these characters in my head first. And then I generally get an idea of what the story, the shape and form is going to take. I have an idea file at home in my computer. And whenever I get an idea or hear a character's kind of voice, I go and I type it in the idea file and I go back to it. You know, some books I thought I would have written by now that were moved down on the list or wrote something else sooner. But it's just a very fortunate thing for me to be able to have a sense of voice and a sense of characterization of what people think and how they feel and be able to shape stories around them so that people will pick up a book like This Just In or Details at 10 and, you know, really enjoy it and see people and characters who have personalities that are similar to theirs or family members or friends.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned Details at 10. Now, this is the first book in what you're planning as a series.
A mystery series.
Mystery series, right. You want to tell us just a little bit about that book?
Well, what I did with Details at 10, I wanted to have this mystery series, and I used a pen name, which is Ardella Garland, and that is my great-grandmother's name. My great-grandmother Ardella was born in 1897 in a little town called Monroe, Louisiana, and she was a fabulous storyteller. By the time I, you know, grew up and met her, she was all pious and hair up in a bun and, you know, a monocle, and she'd sit us on the porch and give us sugar cane and tell us stories about members of the family. She had an extraordinary life herself. She was flashy. She was flamboyant in her youth. And she always wanted to be a writer, and she never would have that opportunity being, you know, in the 20s, African-American woman. So now, you know, 100 years later, I'm a writer. So I said, you know, it'd be kind of cool to let her get her wish by using her name as a pen name. So I used Ardella Garland as a tribute to her from where my talent stems.
Yeah. And Details at 10, I'm guessing that these mystery stories will be set
in a newsroom. This one has an investigative reporter, woman, who falls in love with this sexy police officer named Doug. So you got a little romance there going, and then they kind of she follows a story that is a crime he's trying to solve. So that's their interaction. So the newest one in the series, Hit Time, will be out in February. But Details at 10 is out now, and it's really gotten great reviews and the Chicago Tribune bestseller list, and also a mention in the Washington Post. So I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, I imagine that you still have feelings for journalism.
Once a journalist, Celeste, always a journalist. Kind of like being a police officer, a fireman, you know.
Yeah. And now I wonder, you know, since you have the journalism going for you and writing, if at some point you have given any thought to writing what's sometimes called literary nonfiction.
I have plans to write a literary nonfiction novel about my family. About my great-grandmother and my grandmother. They have some just wonderful stories. And, you know, sometimes when someone's telling you something that's fascinating about, you know, older relatives, and you just think this is just too incredible to be true. But then I started to talk to other relatives, and they would confirm certain events, and I said, wow, these are just some wonderful, priceless stories. So I definitely plan to put that in between the pages of a book.
Well, thank you so much. It's been a delight talking with you this afternoon.
Well, thank you very much. And hopefully some of your listeners will come out tonight to the library at 7 o'clock Central Branch.
Right, in Champaign, the Champaign Public Library. There are tickets available, and they are free for the asking. So do reserve a seat by calling the library at 356-7243. 356-7243. 7243. Our guest this afternoon, Yolanda Joe. She's in Champaign-Urbana for a Writers Live event at the Champaign Public Library. And also look for her books, This Just In, and Details at 10. Yolanda, thank you very much.
Thank you.